You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio. I'm Bill Lack, and we're happy to have one of our spotlight players with us here today in the Red Leg Nation Radio studio, Matt Klinker. Matt, thanks for being with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Had a heck of a year in 09. Climbed three levels with your numbers improving at each stop. Tell us a little bit what 09 looked like from your perspective.
I mean, it's kind of a roller coaster. Ups and downs, trips to the DL, great games, bad games. But, you know, when the dust settled, the general average was a really good year, and it's definitely a foothold to build on for next year.
What part of the year were you most proud of? What was the thing you were most proud of that you accomplished last year?
Getting the AAA last year was outside of my expectations, so that was great. But then having a couple of really good starts there, too. Just something, like I said, something I can build on to next year. Hopefully continue where I left off. And not on the DL, that's where I actually ended, but continue just putting up good numbers and some quality starts at AAA.
Yeah, those bad starts just happened when Linda and I were at the ballpark to see you pitch. What was the most disappointing thing about last year to you?
I wouldn't even say some of the bad outings or the rough outings I had. Probably just the two stints to the DL. I talked to pitching coordinator and just a couple Tom Browning and Mario Soto, and they basically said the one thing that eliminates most pitchers from ever making it to the major leagues is just their durability, their health, and how long their arm can stay healthy. So that's a glaring thing that I think everyone looks at, myself included, as a big red flag, but hopefully I can quiet the naysayers next year, put up a solid year, stay healthy the entire season.
Were the two stints on the DL basically the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. It was the same injury. We know what it was caused by. Don't really know what set it off. The first one, they kind of thought experimenting with a slider might have done it, and then the second one probably just the end of the year, just broken, not broke down, but just tired and didn't keep the body where I needed to keep it to maintain health the whole year.
Your innings last year were down a little bit from the year before, weren't they?
Yep. Okay. I think our innings per outing were better. But just because of the time on the DL, I didn't have the chance to.
Did they put you on some kind of program or work with you with mechanical adjustments to hopefully this won't reoccur?
Right at the end of the season, came home, had an MRI with Dr. Krimchek, and he said everything looked absolutely fine, no micro tears, no frays, no nothing. And he was just like, but you have a tight shoulder capsule, you just need to stretch the crap out of it. That's just the plan is, normally we would do like a major arm stretch, like maybe the day after I pitched, day after I did a bullpen. Now, it's every day, prior to throwing and then after throwing. Just try to keep it loose as much as I can.
Have you had any struggles this year in the off season?
No struggles thus far, knock on wood. Arm's feeling great. I'm about a week ahead of the schedule that they have for us, the throwing schedule. So everything looks great right now.
Let's talk about 2010. What are your goals for this year? Do you set statistical goals, or do you just? I know you've talked about wanting to progress one level a year, but what about statistical goals? Do you set anything like that?
Last year I think was the first time. My goal in 07 and 08 was a strikeout an inning. Last year I had that, so that's still, again, up there. It's less than 3 walks per 9 innings, which I don't think I've ever had. I don't think I've been close to that, so that's a goal. And definitely a whip under like 1.5, that's a good mark to be at. But really, the main goals is just, eating up innings. You know, this year I want to go, you know, 140 at least. You know, in the minor league season, 140, 145. That kind of parlays out to about 200 innings on a major league season. So, lots of innings, strike out an inning, limit the walks, and just have a good record, I guess.
Three guys from your draft class finished the year in AAA. You and Krebs were 14 and 15, and then Frazier's a high pick. Do you think at this point in your career, does draft position mean anything?
Always. You know, Frazier starts in AAA and he struggles, and you know they have to adjust him. You know, he's gonna get a second chance, a third chance, where you know Krebs or I, we kind of start struggling. You know, there's gonna be somebody right behind us ready to leapfrog us. We might not get that second opportunity. Him, maybe a little more. He's got that left. You know, he's a left-hander, but you know, I mean, higher round, higher money, you're gonna get a second shot, third shot. Where you never know, you might be only one shot if you're a late round pick.
Do you consider yourself a late round pick at 15?
15. I mean, that's like a mid range pick, but because I was a senior in college, no leverage, it automatically just goes straight to no money. So.
Okay. Now that you've made it to AAA, so you've been all through the system. Tell us a little bit about the different minor league levels on and off the field.
We'll start on the field. I mean, obviously, you can tell by my numbers at Sarasota this year. I mean, you'd think the competition gets better, and obviously it does, but I think there's just levels that suit, you know, are suited more towards certain types of players. You know, when I was just pounding the strike zone in Sarasota, those guys were just hacking away. I wasn't, you know, trying to fool anybody. Where, you know, AA, AAA, those guys are a little more prone to take a strike one because they know they're going to see another pitch, and they're trying to see pitches. The more pitches they see, the more confident they are getting one that they can hit. Where, you know, in Sarasota, guys, pitchers might be a little more wild. The hitter's approaches, if I see one, I'm taking a hack at it. So for a guy that just pours strikes in the zone, he might get in trouble. Obviously, you know, that happened to me a little bit. Double A and Triple A, you know, the travel, much nicer. We got sleeper buses in Double A, but the Southern League, they do have some long trips. When you burn up half of your day off coming back from a road trip or going to your next road trip, and that kind of takes the fun out of it. You don't really get to recover like you do. Triple A, when you're taking charter flights to any trip over 3 hours. That's pretty nice.
Pretty sweet, huh?
That's pretty nice. I mean, you don't have to leave until like 11 a.m. to, you know, for a night game that night. That's really nice. Helps you sleep better and helps you recover. In the locker room, you know, at AAA, it was a struggle at first. I mean, I came in there maybe a little more jovial than I should have been. I don't know. I was happy to be there. You know, I thought they would be happy to have me. And they really didn't care. So
you're just meat.
Yeah, I was just meat. I was not anything special. So, you know, that was a wake-up call. Double A, you know, I had some buddies up there already. So that was an easy transition. And then Single A, just being in Sarasota. I mean, even when my time on the DL, even though it did stink because I wasn't playing, I mean, you can't beat rehabbing in the morning and then having your afternoons in Sarasota to yourself. I mean, it's tough to beat.
Tell us about the feeling that first start that Sunday night in Louisville. What went through your brain and how'd your stomach feel? And
well, I wasn't that nervous. You know, we got Lee Tabor and I came up together. We were on the same flight, checked into the hotel room the same. We got a cab to the field, and we talked about it, and we're like, dude, we're on the doorstep right now. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, some organizations, you get the Double A, you're on the doorstep. You know, just in the past with the Reds, you know, history, you know, can write its own book. You know, you got to go to AAA. You're going to go through AAA. So once we got there, we're like, hey, we're on the doorstep. We talked about it, you know, you nervous. And we both really calmed each other down, but you know, my warm-up was fine. Seeing my family at the game was fine. then I go out on the mound, and I came up that day, so I didn't really get the scouting report, but I'm looking at their lineup, it was like eight out of nine guys, big league experience. I was like, man, here we go. And definitely the nerves got the best of me, but after that game I kind of settled in, found my groove. So
did they quit hitting the ball back at you?
No, I found the strike zone a little bit. That first game, I was all over the place. I think I had three walks in three innings. No bueno. So let's
move on to this year. Are you excited about going to Arizona for spring training?
Yeah, I mean, always want to greet a new opportunity with some excitement, with some sort of expectations, and Inquirer had a great article about the new facilities, and that's not going to be a question. It's brand new, plenty of room. I am a little worried about the distance in between the practice fields. When we have to rotate our stations, I might get winded running from one running from one place to another. But I've heard the weather's amazing. We're not going to have any rainouts, unless El Nino hits. But I'm definitely excited to get out there. Well, I miss Sarasota for sure. Sarasota's spent half of two years there, and then two spring trainings. You get to know a lot of the people, and I'll miss it for sure.
You saw on the blog where we took some questions from our blog readers, and I'm gonna hit you with a few of these here.
Okay.
The first one's from Who's Your Dad, and he wants to know what your reaction was to the Chapman signing.
I think, I'm not a scout, so I'm not going to say he's going to project or he's not going to project, but I would say the way they worked the deal was amazing. If he's as good as we say he is, the way they parlayed it out over as many years as they did, we only had to pay him, I think $1 million in signing and then $1 million for his salary this year. I mean, that's a bargain. I think it's a great signing, his contract, the way it's set up. Hopefully he works out. I mean, a guy that throws 100, you can't teach that. So, develop some other pitches, and, he'll be set.
Yeah, and he's left-handed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, BJ Rubel asks, what you worked on in the offseason to get you ready to a possible jump to the big leagues?
I would say a jump is definitely going to be more mental, just like the jump to AAA. I had to throw more strikes or I had to throw a better curveball. I had to get over the fact that there was big league guys in the lineup. I had to be ready for that and challenge them. I think it's going to be the same thing if I do make the jump this year or next year. Just be ready, no fear, attack guys. Challenge them with my strengths. What I've worked on, haven't really, I saw it on the blog, have you worked on any special pitches? Haven't really tried to work on any pitches. The slider, that kind of backfired in my face last year. I think my four seam, it already kind of cuts, and my two seamer, kind of sinks. So I just call myself Robitussin. Just giving the same old medicine. Here it is. So just trying to stay healthy, keep the arm stretched. That's the biggest thing I'm working on this offseason.
Were you surprised or disappointed you didn't get an invite to the big league camp?
No. I mean, at the end of the season, if I would have been healthy, I would have hoped. If I would have ended the whole, pitched the whole season with the ERA I had, and been healthy the entire season, I would have hoped I would have gotten an invite. But being, injured, the Reds are way more concerned with me staying healthy than, hey, he needs to get experience at big league camp. And then, hey, $30 million to sign Chapman. They got to cut some corners somewhere. So if they're cutting it with me, hey, I understand completely. But hopefully I'll throw in some big league games and get to wear my pants down and those nice shiny white pants, so we'll see. But definitely don't feel like I got snubbed. Totally understand where the Reds are coming from there. Would I have liked to have got invited? Of course, but don't blame them for not inviting me.
Since you finished the year in AAA last year, if you don't make it to the big club at some point this year, will it be a disappointing year for you?
Great question. I have to say no, just because it's got more to do with the timetable, with the 40-man, your protection year, than it really has to do with performance, as bad as that sounds. You know, last year the only guy who wasn't on the 40-man who got put on the 40-man to make it to the big club was Stubbs, and with the Traveras dealing. Yeah, that was because of injuries, though.
Yeah.
I mean, good point. But Stubbs with the Traveras signing, you know, he's going to be basically they rolled out the carpet for him to be the starting center fielder. And, I mean, he's a freak. So, you know, for them to open up room, put me on the 40-man, then to the big leagues, you know, if it happens, awesome. Is it going to be a disappointment if it doesn't? No. I can just go out there and pitch, and what happens, happens. I think it has to do with spots becoming available because of trades or injuries or something along those lines, more so than my performance will dictate. But on the same token, if those opportunities present themselves and I haven't rise to the occasion by pitching well this season, well, then I just shot myself in the foot. So,
you kind of answered Greg's questions about new pitches and cutters and using them. You know, but it occurs to me, I'm reminded of something in Ball 4 where he talks about it's kind of a quandary in that, for pitchers in spring training where you have to impress enough to make the team, but yet you want, you know, they also tell you they want you to work on something. Is this, and this was him at a major league level, is that true at a minor league level too? Do they tell you that they want you to work on something, but you still have to do well enough that you make the ball club that you're on and you don't end up getting knocked down a level towards the end of spring training?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think that there's a big conspiracy theory. As much as they preach, like, every day we go out there is, oh, you're trying to make a club, you're trying to make a club. A lot of guys think in the back of their minds that the rosters are already set. I tend to think that probably 90% of the roster's set, and then they leave flexibility for maybe 10% of guys to be moved around.
So you're talking about two or three guys.
Yeah, you know, two or three guys at most.
That really surprise people in spring
training.
Exactly. Come out of their shoes.
They're
or
sitting on the, you know, are sitting on the fence, and they push themselves one way or the other. But I mean, there's definitely bullpen sessions when you work on stuff, and then you're going in games. And I've always been taught, and I think it's just the competitor in a pitcher where when you got a batter in there, you're getting him out. It's not time to toy with him, you know. Try to trick him, you know. It's you're going to your what works for you, and you're trying to get him out.
Okay. Greg also asks, in the minor leagues, how much of the game is called from the dugout versus the catcher?
I mean, maybe in rookie ball or if you got a young catcher, but I would say, you know, I think as soon as I got to high A, no pitches were called. If the pitch is going to be called, it's going to be on like a hit and run situation or some sort of late innings maybe, or like a. But what the manager mostly calls, he might call for a slide step or a pickoff. He's not going to really call the pitch because he really wants his pitcher to be, you know, to make that call and throw the pitch that he has confidence in.
You ever had a manager tell you to hit somebody?
I'll plead the fifth there.
All right. I wasn't going to ask you who it was. Have you ever had a catcher that didn't speak English?
Ed Sosa, but he speaks great English. I don't think so.
The reason I ask is a number of years ago now, when I was down watching the Gulf Coast League, when I met Bo Lanier and Russell Haldemeyer, they were complaining at the time because there wasn't a catcher on the staff on the Gulf Coast League team that spoke English. And it was an issue, you know. But that's something you've never had to deal with.
Mm-mm. And I think Hernandez, he speaks really good English, so I don't think those guys have a problem with it. So.
Another one of Greg's questions. How much freedom do minor league pitchers have shaking the catcher off?
Oh, as much as they want. They
it's your
shake,
game.
Yeah, anything.
Okay.
Like, now I will say, I Corky only caught me one time in AAA, and there was a couple of times where I'd shake him, and he'd put the same pitch down. And that's when I was kind of like, all right, he definitely knows these hitters better than I do. I better just trust him and throw what he calls. And majority of the time it worked out. So, you know, sometimes you got to listen to your catchers. And there's been times where I've shaken them off and they've come out to me and we've talked about it and then we get on the same page and we're ready to go.
Is it a relationship you have to build with catchers? I mean, has to be a certain amount of trust between the pitcher and the catcher?
I don't know if it's got to be like buddy-buddy, but you got to be able to know each other. Like, how far can you push this pitcher? Like, some pitchers are babies. They want to throw what they want to throw. There's no questions asked. And if a catcher comes out, he's going to tell them to go back and sit down and shut up. I'm not that kind of guy, but... you know, that works for some pitchers. So catchers just have to understand the demeanor of the pitcher, and pitcher needs to understand the demeanor of a catcher.
How do you feel about GRF asked, how do you feel about pitch counts for pitchers in the minors?
I think pitch counts are great for pitchers in the minors, pitchers in the majors. I mean, if you look at statistics, once a guy's about 100, 110 pitches, his ERA skyrockets. You know, and I'm sure there's always going to be exception to the rules. Some guys, you know, dice care, whatever, 300 pitch bullpens, I don't know, but, you know, I think it's good. And really, I think a big movement in pitch count philosophy is like long innings, or like, they call them like stressful pitches. Like if you have a guy on second base or in scoring position, they count it as a stressful pitch. And if you have, like, so many in back-to-back innings, or if you have, like, 30-plus pitches in back-to-back innings, you're probably at your limit. I don't know all the jargon and all the mathematical breakdown, but I know there's been a lot of study behind that lately.
How much has your pitch count changed from Billings, where you started, to last year?
Billings, I mean, the whole year I was in Billings, we didn't have, like, we had all young guys, so every guy piggybacked. You were going to go four innings max, and then you're out of there. I mean, maybe five if, like, our bullpen was shoddy that night. You know, maybe they had thrown a bunch of innings the night before, but never going more than five innings. You could be at 50 pitches. Then Dayton, after rookie ball, it was kind of like, it was based on the season, not really the level. You know, early in the season, you're going to be at about 75, then go up to about 85 mid-season, and then at the end, you're 95, 100 pitches, depending on your inning count for the season.
For Pinson 343, I'm going to kind of paraphrase his question here. If you'd thrown a lot of innings this year, say you're up around the 140 that you're talking about, 145, maybe even 150, would you still think it'd be a good idea to call you up at that point if you'd thrown that many innings?
I mean, I don't know. That's not my decision. I mean, I'm kind of biased on that,
yeah,
right?
I understand.
Get me to the show, but I don't know.
But you sure wouldn't want to do it at the possibility of hurting your career. Okay. Maybe you would. All right. And you've already said that your goal this year is to throw about 140 innings, which would put you right about where you were the year before last.
Yep.
The Sultan of Swaff asks, as a guy who only plays once every 5 days, as opposed to the guys that actually work for a living, how bored do you get on your off days when you're not pitching? And what do you do to stave off that boredom?
Drink a lot of coffee. No. I mean, you get a ton of work in. If you're not working on those four off days, the season's gonna catch up to you.
During the ball game.
During the ball game, a lot depends. In Louisville, we only charted one day in the stands. The day before we pitched, we charted, and then our 2 days before, we were doing the hitting chart, and we charted 2 days. The other 2 days, we were in the dugout. You know, we have a spread chart that the hitting coach normally keeps. I'll try to volunteer to do that, but some of them are a little particular how they like it kept. So I try to stay busy. It was easy. When I got to Louisville, it was really easy. I mean, we had Burton down there. We had Owings. You know, you could always pick those guys' brains. I went to Furman. Burton went to Western Carolina. So same Southern Conference. So... he liked to give me some crap about that. But, you know, sometimes it is hard to find something to do. Sometimes the games are exciting, fun to watch. You're intense. You know, sometimes you like to make fun of the manager, the other team. You just got to find something to do.
Can you learn anything by watching somebody else pitch?
For sure. For sure. The way a guy attacks somebody, I mean, you can learn something by the way a guy sets up. And not just like, oh, how am I going to go after him? But just like the way hitters think in general. Just by watching the game, you learn so much. And when you play, that's one, the biggest thing from college is that when you play every day, and when your paycheck depends on it, you get so much better. You get so much more disciplined, and you just pick up on things so much quicker.
GRF had another question. He asked what your favorite minor league parks are.
I mean, if you just want to go by aesthetics, I mean, is it Victory Field, Indy? I mean, that field's great. Columbus got voted the best field for the season. I mean, it was nice, don't get me wrong, but I like Toledo just as well. I'll say Huntsville in AA. That place had, it needs a little improvement. That's definitely not one of my favorites.
What was it? Didn't you tell me about the one in Pennsylvania?
Oh, Lehigh Valley? That was nice. Not only, the field was nice. It's brand new, so it should be. But just the area, Bethlehem, we stayed downtown, the Bethlehem Inn or Bethlehem Hotel, sweet old hotel, really fun. Just a quaint small little town. It was cool. It's cool town.
About Clearwater, I've heard good things about the ballpark in Clearwater.
Clearwater's fun place to play. Probably the funnest place in the Florida State League. They always have like a promotion. I think the night I pitched, it was like 70s night. They had like people wearing disco. And they did musical chairs or something. Plus, there's like a couple restaurants right outside that we could go to after the game. So, I'm trying to think. But, I mean, I would love to go see the new ballpark in Billings. I bet that's a great place to play. Is it Orem?
You were the last year at Cobb,
yeah,
right?
Last year at Cobb, but Logan got to experience that too. Orem might be, I think it was Orem or Ogden. No, Orem in Utah might be my favorite ballpark to play in. Beautiful mountains, unbelievable.
Is that one of the mountains that are like right out past,
yeah,
center field?
Right, I've seen to pictures. Left and center. Oh, it's amazing.
He also asked, what are the worst and longest bus trips?
The one to Orem. A couple in AA that I got. The Midwest League, going to Iowa, a couple of those were bad.
Well, when they moved the team last year in AA, it lengthened the trips by what?
Yeah.
At least a couple of hours?
Like the average trip, six.
Yeah.
And a half. That's the shortest one.
That's Logan Parker that you can almost hear talking there. He's sitting in here with us. So the trips to Iowa in the Midwest League. The trips like the Alabama, I assume, are the worst,
yeah,
in
Utah,
in Southern League, and Utah, and well, that's about all I've got. Actually, I did have one more question.
Okay.
Do players read the blogs? I mean, I know you guys kind of check our blog every now and again, see what people are talking about. But I mean, on when you guys are in the clubhouse, does somebody say, did you read what they wrote about so and so on something something? Or is it like,
I think, you know, like there's kind of like a couple sides of the coin. Like there's some like ESPN or, you know, Baseball America, everybody's gonna read those. Then there's some guys who get involved in like the team specific blogs, and then there's other guys who just read everything. But all guys, they're going to read something.
I would think it'd be tough at times to read things that people were writing about you. I would think that would be very difficult at times, especially if you're struggling, you know.
That's why I do this. So when I do struggle, maybe they'll have some
sympathy. He's a bum.
They'll have some sympathy on me.
Is that what it is? Well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about, Matt?
No. it's been another good off season in Cincinnati.
Working in the hair salon.
Yeah. The more I'm around the city, you know, the more I enjoy it.
You did, what, one day of student or 1 week of student teaching this year?
Yeah, caught the swine flu. That was about all of that. But I've been doing it here and there for teachers that I've stayed in touch with. It's fun.
Have you picked all your weight back up that you lost?
Yeah, I'm sitting at like 207, 210. I think last year I was playing at about 217 to 220. I kind of like 210 right now. We'll stay there for a little bit. We'll see how the food is in Arizona.
There you go. Again, I want to thank you very much for your time, as always, Matt. We wish you luck in spring training the entire year, and hopefully we'll see you at Great American Ballpark this year.
I do appreciate it.
I just want to tell everybody, upcoming in the next couple of weeks, we've got an interview set up we're going to do with Devin Mesoraco, and we're also going to talk to Mr. Logan Parker.
Again.
And that's all we've got. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.